Welcome to this week's episode of This Is My Son. I am extremely excited for this week's episode because it is the first ever co-son, pro-son mega episode with my guest, Nikita Desai. Hi, Nikita.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Kathy.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to have you here. This week, we both chose a son that was near and dear to us, that we share.
Our joint, we co-parent this son.
Yeah, we're both its adoptive parents. And granted, this son has many, many parents across the country and probably the world.
Yeah.
At this point in time, it is, as you might say, I think on the heels of a Peabody Award. Is that right? Or Pulitzer Prize and Time's, you know, number or 100 most influential people prize. We are riding the wave. We're high. Mm-hmm. High in the wave.
We are not Johnny come latelys.
No, we are exactly in the cultural moment, or maybe for me slightly behind it. And that son, of course, is Lin-Manuel Miranda's hit musical Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Alexander
Hamilton. No, we are not. I cannot sing. Can you sing? Because there is no singing that is going to happen.
Oh, if you say so. So I actually, it's interesting. I was talking to my mom this morning, and she said, yeah, well, I just started listening to your podcast.
Oh.
And, you know, for stuff that I haven't heard before, it'd be really helpful if you could play clips.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah. But then I'd probably have to, like, figure out legal shit and things, and yeah. But anyways, since if you don't want to sing, we won't sing. We'll just talk about it in a non-musical way.
Could you, like, this podcast could be a parody.
Well, that's imposing a lot of work on me all of a sudden.
But this is your son, Kathy.
It's my son, but I don't want to parody it, because I love and respect it too much.
I have to tell you something. You should be very happy because this is the first podcast I've ever done.
Oh my god!
Yes,
you're a podcast virgin, and I blustered my way into it.
Yeah, you sweet talked me. You know, just came up and said, "How do you do?" Almost like I was Eliza at the ball.
You were into it, though. You're
yeah. Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, you were gentle, I hope.
So
yes,
gentle.
But this is very exciting. I've never done a podcast, and I hope. I mean, I feel like this is. It's a lot of first. It's the co-son, my first podcast.
And it's the first time I've ever been very on NyQuil while recording one of these episodes.
It's been the first, yeah. I'm so glad you chose this opportunity. It should just get wet and wild with NyQuil.
I feel like, yeah, if we're going to go with this many firsts, we might as well, you know, go crazy. Crazy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's start, I think... You know, this is an unprecedented structure for the episode, so I think we'll sort of make it up as we go. But I think we should probably start with, how did you first listen to or get into Hamilton?
Well, I listened to it last year that the NPR, like, they released the cast recording? Yes, yeah. So I first listened to it last year. I had been aware that there was a musical called Hamilton that had come out, and I had listened to Lin-Manuel Miranda had actually done a guest spot on My Brother and Me the year before that, where he had actually talked about the fact that he was writing Hamilton at the time. And so it was like, I know who this guy is. It was on NPR, and everybody was talking about it, and so I was like, this sounds really dumb, but, like, I'll check it out. Because, like, you know, the concept of, like, a musical about the founding fathers, you're like, okay.
A hip-hop musical, yeah. Especially, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just, it sounds like somebody took a bunch of words in a bag and jumbled them up and pulled something out. But, so I listened to it, and then I remember the first song, Alexander Hamilton, and I had to stop, like, halfway through and just take a moment to be like, is this real? Is this real life? I can't believe somebody has made this thing, and it's beautiful, and, like, why hasn't this been made before? And I was very quickly obsessed with it.
So I came at it from a much later time in its trajectory of fame. So I had, like, seen it. I was aware of it, and I had heard about it. I'd seen, like, Tumblr posts about it for several months, and I kind of been like, yeah, I should check that out. That's supposed to be pretty good. For a long time, like, you know, I think it came out or was first moved from maybe off-Broadway to on-Broadway, like, fall last year or something,
yeah,
like that.
When it went from the Public to the Richard Rodgers Theater.
Yeah, so ever since that time, like, from then until, I don't know, I'm guessing, like, February of this year, it had been something that I'd been, like, aware of, but had not actively sought out. And then I heard offhand that, and I don't, like, frequently watch award shows that aren't the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
but I'd heard that there was going to be, like, a Hamilton performance at the Grammys this year. So I decided, you know, I might as well watch that and just, you know, see what it was going to be about.
What's all the fuss?
And so I watched that, and I was, like, kind of blown away by the live performance of Alexander Hamilton that they did at the Emmys. And immediately afterwards, basically bought the soundtrack and started listening to it. And yeah, it was just, you know, completely, really just delighted by how great it is. It's just a great musical and just great music in general. It's one of the musicals that succeeds at being both great from a storytelling perspective and from a, you know, individual songs being catchy and fun and good to listen to.
Yeah, I listened to the soundtrack for the first time ever since, like, you know, getting into Hamilton last year, all the way through just before recording, and wow, it is a story. Like, it I'm constantly blown away by the fact that you know, both of us, we haven't seen the musical, but like, to fully understand, like, you know who these characters are. Like, you know who these people are just by listening to the music.
Yeah, like, the story is completely self-contained in the songs itself. You don't need... I'm sure, yeah, grantedly, probably the experience of seeing the musical really enhances it. But, yeah, you don't need to do it to understand what's going on.
You don't need to see the musical to sob like a baby...
you know, the thing is, there are multiple songs that will cause me to cry in this musical too. It's not just, I mean, definitely the last track is the most common one, but like even the one was with God, what's the name of the track? Oh, like, you know, the one where Washington steps down.
Oh, One Last Time.
Yeah, One Last Time will also make me cry. Like, there's a good. It's just such a great. Emotionally evocative, but also, you know, historically informative.
Yeah, you're... I think that's what I love. It's like, it's, there's something for the music nerds, and there's something for the history nerds. Like, history teachers must be... This was like... I'm trying to think of... This is it for them.
It's like a great gift from God for the history teachers of the world to engage their disaffected youth that they have to teach.
Well, like, before, I guess it was, what, 1776 that they would...
Yeah, but who cares about that? Yeah. It's like watching The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch Thomas Jefferson, like, get all thirsty about his wife and play a violin.
Is that what's in... I've never seen or heard of 17... I've heard of, but never really experienced...
Oh, really? It's, yeah. It's okay. It's very... it's like musical, like it's very like staged. Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World plays John Adams. And interestingly enough, Hamilton is not in that, but it takes place like a little bit before I think he sort of jumped on the scene. So,
yeah, I mean, 1776 was like when he wasn't really a big figure.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting about Hamilton, and it's maybe it says something about my weird family. My family has sort of we have a thing about the Adamses.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think sprang from, like, in high school or some, at some point, my sister did everyone had to do a report on one particular president, and she did one on John Quincy Adams.
Mm.
And she, like, became very, very obsessed and very strongly, have strong feelings about John Quincy Adams as a person, because he was a good president and a good intellectual, and, you know, did all the defending slaves in the Amistad trial.
I don't actually know that much about him.
JQA, as he is known in my
JQA.
Family. It's good. So we're big as a family, like our allegiance is to the John Quincy Adams group.
Mm-hmm.
Like just this last summer when I went to visit Boston, we went like hung out at the Adams family household. anyways, but it's interesting that he is not very present in Hamilton at all, considering the fact that he was a pretty prominent, I mean, he was the second president. He was just sort of excised from the story mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda had originally written a song for him and then, decided to cut it out. Because I think it was just kind of like, otherwise it became too many things, too many characters. But it is interesting that, yeah, the only Federalist that we really see is Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of ends up ganged up on.
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of him against the world, which fits, I think, thematically with it pretty well. Because it's basically, you know, especially they highlight Jefferson and Madison versus Hamilton as this sort of thing. And, you know, Washington is kind of on Hamilton's side throughout, but still is not overtly... Yeah, partisan.
Yeah, speaking of Washington, it's interesting because I was listening to it earlier today and I was making some notes, and I just thought it was really cool that, like, you know, in general, this is, like, a really great sort of, like, you know, people talk a lot about, like, oh, this is, like, reinvigorated history and stuff like that, but, like, it did something I thought never possible, which was, like, it made George Washington seem cool. Like, it made me seem, like, made me, like, into George Washington.
Yeah.
Like, of the presidents that I would, like, think were cool, Washington was not probably at the top of that list, but, you know, I'd hang out with him.
Well, so it's interesting, and this sort of semi-reflects badly on me, but after I started listening to this, I started reading the Ron Chernow biography of Hamilton.
Oh, good for you. I have not managed that yet.
I haven't finished it, is the embarrassing part. but I got up to roughly, like, the ratification of the Constitution, and so, you know, previous to that, there's a good amount of discussion about Washington, about how he apparently had, like, a pretty bad temper, and he, like, worked hard to control it, but he still was kind of, like, could get very, very incensed at people. I don't know. It's interesting.
And, yeah, I mean, I think it's just, like, it's one of those things of, you know, you learn about these people in school, and it's, like, all you kind of know is, like, oh, he was the first president, or, like, not really if you're one of those people who's, like, well, actually... But, like, yeah, it's, you know, I think with the Chernow biography and with this, it's, like, people are actually thinking about the beginning of this country, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's an election year and, like, thinking about, Like, I remember I was listening to the election of 1800, which is, like, towards the end, and I was just thinking about, like, the parallel of, you know, Burr, like, not having, not really, like, having any, like, viewpoints or, like, any positions on stuff, and, you know, you see political candidates who don't, who, like, flip-flop and don't have beliefs, and it's, like, wow, very, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, basically, it's always been the same. And another interesting thing, they don't touch on this as much in the musical, but a little bit in the Ron Chernow biography. If you get into the section where they talk about the kinds of things that were covered in the Federalist Papers that Hamilton wrote, some of them are like things about, you know, the amount of power, say, that, like, the Supreme Court gets and things like that. Things that sort of, at the time, were not really set in stone, but just by, like, him writing about them, it kind of established the way that things work in our government today. Like, the fact that the Supreme Court can override laws that are, you know, decided by Congress, which wasn't, like, necessarily, that wasn't a foregone conclusion, you know, at the beginning of this country, but it was something that basically, like, well, you know, maybe it would work if it worked like this. And yeah. That's basically how it ended up.
They were flying blind. Like, they were, yeah. Like, they were, like, I think Hamilton is, like, what, 19 when this whole thing starts. Like, when he joins up and he becomes Washington's right-hand man. Like, they were teenagers. Like,
yeah.
Like, they were children, like, figuring this out. And, like, they make fun of him in, what's it, Nonstop, where he's like, this is the first murder trial, and they're like, shut up, dude, like, it's just a trial. But, like, yeah, you're setting a precedent for, you know, 250, 300 years later.
Uh-huh. Well, so, I think it's probably good to address one of the central themes of the album, which is, you know, the parallel that's being drawn, right, between Hamilton, who, you know, in point of fact, is a old white guy, from the 1700s,
yep,
to a, you know, more diverse and definitely certain elements of American, you know, minority culture and things like that, is the concept of, like, hustle, mm-hmm, and how hard you have to work to be able to make it and to be successful. That's sort of one of the ongoing themes in the musical, and one thing that I think, you know, was drawn back to Hamilton because, like, seriously, the dude fucking wrote,
yeah,
at an unreasonable rate.
Every time I listen to this, like, I walk away being like, man, I am not working hard enough.
Yeah, you gotta work hard, you gotta keep hustling.
Yeah, like, I am not writing or, you know, doing anything nearly as much. Yeah, he's just constantly, it's so interesting, because, like, so my, I always come at this from, like, I see Hamilton as the central sort of question is, like, you know, how do you define success? Like, how do you live your life? And you have, like, all these different characters, like Burr and Hamilton and Eliza and Angelica, who have different ways of going about that. You know, Burr doesn't work as much because he comes from money and he wants to, like, you know, play the game and sweet talk. And Hamilton, like, he grew up with nothing and he came from nowhere. So he's like, no, I gotta be loud and here, and I gotta, like, just, if I don't write, people will forget about me. But Eliza is, who also, both Eliza and Angelica, who, like, grew up with money and comfort and family, are like, no, you just gotta have your family. Like, isn't this enough?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what people think of you or how they remember you, because, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, but all the people who say that, all the people who keep telling him, why are you so obsessed with your legacy? They've already been names. Like, Jefferson came from money, Burr came from money, the Schuylers.
It's just it's a foregone conclusion that they'll be significant,
right,
in history, right? They're not nobodies by default.
Yeah. So it's, the concept of trying. That's probably why I love Hamilton so much. He's a tryhard. He cares. He cares so much about everything. And it's like, that's so not cool.
It's not cool, yeah. And it definitely, in the musical, is to his detriment, right? Because it's set up as the reason why he is willing to basically destroy his marriage and his reputation, his personal reputation, for the sake of maintaining his integrity as a statesman, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, I feel kind of bad. I feel like we're already several minutes into this. But do you feel like for people who haven't listened to this, we should very quickly describe what the plot is?
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like we're jumping. I guess
I assume that everyone who would listen to this has already heard of it.
I assume so, because at this point it's kind of like, who hasn't? But, I mean,
there's nothing I want to address in this episode at some point. And maybe we should do a synopsis before it, but the idea of Hamilton backlash, which is something I've seen over the past couple months.
Oh, yeah.
Troubles me, but I think first we should say, Hamilton is a biographical musical. Primarily, the structure is, you know, Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton was a questionably a bastard, maybe, maybe not, born in the island of Nevis in the Caribbean. And after a variety of bad things befell him and his brother, who is not really mentioned in the musical, his mother died and lots of other stuff. Basically, his father abandoned them because he's kind of an asshole. And came to New York to go to college, became, you know, joined up in the Revolutionary Army, and eventually, through being an aide to George Washington, became, you know, all the stuff that you know him as, Secretary of Treasury, the guy on the $10 bill, etc., etc.
Still on the $10 bill.
Yeah, and not going to be kicked off. Although, I don't know, so they recently introduced a bunch of different people. They're just going to be on the back of existing bills, and then Harriet Tubman's the only one who's going to be replacing a front side person.
Oh.
I think that's what it is, I don't know.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, I feel like, wields a lot of power now. Sure. For somebody who seems like a pure cinnamon roll too good for this world. Like every video interview I've seen with him.
He's just a delicate squishy baby.
Basically.
Yeah.
And this is why I chose him, or I chose this as my son, because like I feel a lot of like maternal, paternal feelings towards him and the musical, where like, and I mean, he certainly don't need my like support.
Granted, he is probably older than you too.
Yeah, he's my son who's older than me that I just want to succeed and like be like do well at everything. I just care so much about him.
Yeah, and he's a good story of success through in the same way as Hamilton, right? Success through pure work.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't have a foot up through some other means. It's purely just because he's talented as a songwriter and lyricist.
Yeah, he is. Oof. I mean, did you want to? I mean, we can talk about the some of the lyrics and the verses, like. I wrote down some of my favorite, like, just turns of, he can, like, Aaron Burr, sir, like, all of the puns in there, and just the, like, using Burr, sir, and bursar together, and my English language nerd was just like, cool, this was made for me.
Well, so one thing I was thinking about even today was, because one of the strong things I think in a lyrical and musical sense in this is the repurposing and repetition of different sort of phrases and structures throughout in different contexts that makes them these like crushingly, when they, it might be lighthearted in one context and then it's like crushingly sad in another
context. My emotions. yeah, 10 dual commandments.
Oh no, not 10 dual commandments.
No, oh god. Yeah, let's, this is gonna end with us just both crying.
Yeah. But, and even, you know, in a lighter-hearted sense, the Aaron Burr sir, it also repeats at the beginning of the first 10 dual commandments with the, I think the line, can we agree that duels are dumb and immature? Sure. So they even segment, the line is segmented where it usually is one whole phrase by one whole character, but they switch it to be like the first chunk is Aaron Burr and then Alexander Hamilton sort of finishes it for that phrase.
Yep.
To keep the rhyming pattern and the rhythm pattern the same. And I think it's just such a brilliant lyrical.
Yeah, it's so it's so smart, and it's like, you know, all and like you were saying at the beginning, like in total, it's a story, and you know, from start to finish, you get this really clear picture. But you can also just jump into each song and listen to it, and like you get there's such a different voice for like each character, and the fact that he completely does something different for You'll Be Back is
each time.
Oh, so good. And yeah, also the repetition of like bringing King George back in these little awesome wow is definitely one of my favorites. Yeah, it's like you get why he's won like every award possible,
every single one.
Yeah, he came to my office and they were having Employee of the Month, and he won it.
He won Employee of the Month. Wow, that's amazing.
He won Employee of the Month at my,
so he's the most productive and helpful employee at your workplace.
Yes. He somehow had time. He flew down to DC, and they were like, "Yeah, all right."
You know what? I think that I just recently won an award at work, and I think I want to give it to Lin-Manuel Miranda instead.
Yeah, I'm sure whatever it's for, he deserves it more than you do.
Definitely, he definitely deserves it.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on something. Another theme of Hamilton is the fact that he's considered an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in early colonial America, that sort of meant, I think, probably something much different than what it does now. But I think the way it's interpreted, you know, as since Lin-Manuel Miranda is a Puerto Rican, it's contextualized a little differently in the musical, but in a way to make it sort of, to make us feel sort of the effect that it would have had for there to be like a Caribbean white guy versus American-born white guys in America at that time. And I'm wondering, for you, as a non-white American,
how dare you?
I know, I'm just wondering if that has any impact for you, as you know, basically.
Can't you tell from this podcast and from my name that I am a proud 50-year-old white man?
You're just a white male human being.
Yes,
and you've lived in America. You're a son of the American Revolution.
My wife, Beatrice, and our children,
Crand.
Crand and Stumulus.
Just beautiful blonde boys.
It's a historical white name. Listen, you know, we don't mess with those crazy ethnic names. But yeah, my family, my parents were immigrants, and I am not white, as the kids say. So sorry, what was your question?
My question was, does Hamilton resonate any deeper with you because of that?
It does.
Or,
yeah.
You know, because he's more of an outsider, really, in the entire story.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was born here in this country, but it can be weird being an American citizen, but not looking like what people typically consider an American citizen. And I guess I had never really, I know I kind of thought about it a lot growing up, and I lived in India briefly, where it was made very apparent to me that I did not also fit in there. But there's a line where it's in Yorktown, I think, where he says, "Immigrants, we get the job done." Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, cool. So this was made for me. Like, this is, not necessarily my story, but like a story that I very much identify with. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of, especially in Act Two, once he starts to get into the politics, and it's him sort of versus like all of the other people, all of these established, very wealthy white families like Jefferson and Madison and Burr, who are coming up against him, and they're telling him, like, you don't fit in here, this isn't your place, what are you trying to do, trying to rise above your stations? I think John Adams actually at one point, in real life, called him a Creole bastard, because there's some question about whether or not Hamilton was completely white.
Yeah, or at least definitely whether or not he was born in wedlock.
Yeah.
Definitely in question.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a lot of, like, oh, you can never be like us. Like, how dare you try to, how dare you try to be like us? And even, you know, Eliza, you know, bless her heart, she loved him, but she also says, like, you know, isn't this enough? Isn't it enough just to, you know, be here and have a family? But that doesn't seem fair because, you know, why shouldn't he have what all the other people have? Why shouldn't he get to be, you know, president or whatever, just because no one can believe that he's still alive, that he escaped from, you know, outside the U.S. So it's, yeah, it's definitely, like, it's pretty cool to have a musical that's about, like, an immigrant just being, even though he frustrates me so much.
Yeah, I mean, Hamilton is a problematic character in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
he's not a saint, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of it being, you know, pride, I would say, the sort of inability to to ever have his reputation or his honor be tarnished.
He has this like hubris almost, which is very interesting because I think they even in the musical call it out, because I think it's like a direct reference from one of the letters that he writes to Angelica where he calls himself Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, have you read Macbeth? Like, do you know how that ends? But not a great comparison. So like he knew, and yet, I think in my notes, or when I was re-listening to this, I was just like, the entire Act Two feels like a train wreck that you're just watching in slow motion.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like every tragedy, right? Where you know the ending. I mean, like, anyone who's taken a high school history class knows that Alexander Hamilton died in a duel.
But not even necessarily the duel. It's like, you know, that pride that he has, that inability to just, like, sit still for a moment, when he decides, in all of his genius, to write the Reynolds pamphlet. I just, it's like, you just keep screaming, like, no.
Don't do it.
Like, I know this happened 300 years ago, but.
Well, 250, not quite
200. It's, yeah, it's just like, you just want him to be better.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, there's a common musical I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know. But in musicals, you usually accept the heroes are good and you can root for them without qualms for the entire time. And I don't know. I mean, there certainly are points where you're like, no, Alexander, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I would say you're much more on Eliza's side throughout because she's probably the only person who's not an asshole.
She's not an asshole. I keep saying, I always say poor Eliza, but also, and maybe this is me, maybe I find Hamilton so frustrating because I identify with Hamilton a lot, because she keeps being like, isn't it enough to just, like, have a family? And I'm like, and she's like, why do you have to go, you know, when Washington calls on you? And I'm like, he's going to be the Secretary of the Treasury.
The first Secretary of the Treasury for a country.
Just let him, like, what did you expect? Like, let him do this. Like, come on, really? And this is probably why I'm going to die alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, I also, I mean, I personally, I definitely identify with Hamilton. And also, I'm a big Angelica fan.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is sort of an interesting thing because it's there's kind of this little mini love story that's not quite the, you know, the main point of the musical. It's kind of an appendage. It's an add-on.
Mm-hmm.
of you know, essentially it's implied that Alexander loves Angelica, who's Eliza's sister, and Angelica definitely loves him, but also Eliza loves him, and then there's a little bit of a love triangle.
And Lawrence, and he also...
And John Lawrence,
he definitely loved John Lawrence quite a bit.
And whether or not that was in a romantic or not sense is something that history has not yet figured out, but could be. Certainly they had very, very intimate loving letters exchanged between them.
He's a man of big appetites.
He loves everybody. He just loves too much.
And I think it's that thing of, like, he grew up without any love, and he grew up with nothing, and then to suddenly be surrounded by all of this for the taking, it's like, yeah, I just want it all. But then sometimes you're like, oh, God, Hamilton, can you just... Why didn't you just go upstate?
Just go upstate. Listen, in my opinion... If he'd gone upstate, he could have had a threesome with
Angelica. That's exactly what I think. I have said to many people, I'm like, your wife and your wife's sister, who you also are into, were straight up offering you a three-way at a lake house. What's wrong with you?
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Don't do adultery when you can just do that instead.
It's... Like, what more could you ask for? Like, they're all cool with it. instead he stayed in New York and got conned, like,
totally played.
Yeah, because I have a lot of I am personally a Mariah Reynolds was scamming him truther.
Oh, really? You're anti Mariah Reynolds?
I'm not anti Mariah Reynolds. I'm pro. I think she and her husband, mostly her husband, took advantage of the fact that he had a big ego and liked the fact that she was asking him for help.
Mm.
Because, they pretty much... And they took a lot of money from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's... maybe that's controversial.
I don't know, I haven't gotten that far in the Ron Chernow biography, so I can't say anything more about in a more informed way. I don't know, it never struck me from the musical that Mariah was out, like, was scheming for it. Maybe she was pressured into it by her husband. But it always seemed to me that he was definitely the mastermind of the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's why I say I'm not anti-Mariah Reynolds. Because first off, like, I would never blame the other woman, but yeah, I think it was definitely, like, mostly her husband, who seemed like a skis bag.
Totally.
And then a little bit of, like, her going along with it. But yeah, the whole, it's just, like, so many bad decisions, and then, like, by the time it gets to the end, and you're just, like, you're just like, oh, you're like, why? Especially when they ask him his opinion at the during the election, you're like, why couldn't you just keep your mouth shut?
Just don't offer it. No, he can't, right? Because he, like, he has, that's the thing. That's why he's frustrating and also a great role model, right? Is that he's so opinionated and so honest about his opinions throughout, even to his detriment, that you're just like, okay, you just shut up. But he can't shut up.
He doesn't understand, because he thinks, like, he keeps saying, like, oh, my writing is a thing that saved me, that my writing is a thing that got me out. And it's like, but you're here, you're out, this is,
yeah, you already did it,
yeah, like, you're good, this is the time to, especially, like, after your son has died, just go upstate.
Go, yeah.
Is that what the kids are going to call it now for when you
going
want
to, upstate.
When you want a three-way?
When you want a three-way, you go upstate.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
clear. The problem is if your desired three-way partner lives in England when you live in America, that's a problem. You really need a local three-way,
yes,
three-way option.
Yeah. I mean, well, there is Skype, but that's not really...
That doesn't quite count. Especially not when you're in, you know, 18th century situation.
But yeah, it's interesting. Hamilton is the protagonist, for sure. But there's no real hero. Because even Burr, who's technically supposed to be the villain, is not really the villain.
Yeah, and he's portrayed as sympathetic. He's just a different character type, and that's the reason why he's put into conflict with Hamilton.
I definitely, in every, like, quiz, whatever I've taken, I'm always Hamilton. This does not surprise me. But I, like, want to be Burr really badly.
Well, Burr is so, he's much more suave. He's much more together, right? He's the cool customer. And I should say, one of the things that draws me in is I think that Leslie Odom is, I think, the best singer in the musical.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a performer, definitely his song.
Wait For It is my favorite song in the entire recording.
And he's the cool customer, right? Whereas Hamilton is, like, he's kind of a dork. Like, he's kind of a nerd, and he's super loud-mouthed and annoying. And deliberately portrayed as being kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Whereas Burr is, you know, the charmer, right?
Yeah. Oh, that is so, yeah. I love when you're frustrated by the character that represents you the most. And I want nothing more than to be Burr, who's just, like, got it together and, like, is patient and stuff like that. But no, if I really had to, like, look deep down, I'd be like, nope, you are a tryhard. You're a nerdy tryhard.
But you know what? The thing is, though, the thing that's proven out by Hamilton is the nerdy tryhards are the ones who actually go on to accomplish something.
Yeah.
If you're cool and laid back and don't ever actively, you know, aim for your goals, you're not going to get anywhere. And I think that's the essence of, like, the American story, right? Is the putting your all into something and working hard, you know, despite all of the all fate being stacked against you to achieve your goals. And it's something that's almost become mythical, and it's so something that's, you know, even statistically you can look and see is almost impossible for most people. Like, most people cannot do
the concept
Hamilton
of the American
stuff.
Dream is dead.
Well, it's essentially, yeah, it's been refuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over time by, you know, unless you are an exceptional human being, which very few of us are lucky enough to be, it doesn't really get you anywhere just, you know, through hard work and trying. But it's, I think one of the things about Hamilton's is so seductive in that sense, because it's like, wow, there's this person who's so extraordinarily hardworking that he managed to overcome all of these horrible situations to become successful and influential. And it's a seductive and a beautiful dream in a certain way.
And by casting all of these young, diverse people to play these roles, it definitely makes you feel like, yeah, I could do this today. Like, mm-hmm. I could do this. But I don't think it's, I think the good thing about it and why I think Hamilton will have staying power, is that it doesn't feel completely like 100% optimistic, you know? Because there mm-hmm. is that still, I mean, there's still that bittersweet, like, yeah, he was remembered and he achieved great things, but he died younger than he should have.
Yeah, he should have lived to be much older and lived to be a venerated founding father rather than...
It took a chance reading of, like, a young Puerto Rican guy going on vacation, reading the Chernow biography, who then decided to write a musical about him, to basically make him, like, this... to actually, like, lift him into the pantheon of, like, the founding fathers, like, a couple hundred years after he died.
Well, to an extent, right? Because he has been on the $10 bill,
mm-hmm.
but I think you could see, I could easily see that Miranda saved him from being the one that was unfairly replaced by Harriet Tubman, because Andrew Jackson's a much worse person than Alexander Hamilton was.
Yeah.
But it's because he managed to, at just the right point in history, to ignite public interest in Alexander Hamilton. But I think he's definitely done a lot to save his legacy. Because, I mean, I remember from high school, Alexander Hamilton, you know, when we were learning about the Federalist Papers or whatever, he was one of my favorite. He was basically my favorite founding father.
Oh, do you have a favorite founding father?
Well, doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
Well, for a while it was
Jefferson. Hey, tell me all about your presidential fan fiction.
Well, so for a while it was Jefferson.
Oh.
I was into it because, you know, you got the Declaration of Independence there. He was a redhead, which I got to get behind. I did a state project on Virginia, where I was into Virginia.
Oh, wow.
But then I, you know, once I got into high school, I think I decided that I was more of a Federalist than a Democrat or Republican, if you know what I mean.
You were an alternative.
Well, I think by Federalist, I mean, you know, a fan of centralized government rather than states' rights conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that Hamilton was my bro. And also he was the hottest, clearly. Look at the portraits.
He's definitely the hottest. Like, even by today's standards, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I'm into it. Wig and all.
Who knows? For a while, at least. I'm sure during the war he didn't wear a wig.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably too young. Too young and hot. But anyways, I've always been a Hamilton fan. A Hamill fan, as they call it.
Hamill trash?
Hamill trash. I'm female Hamill trash.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because I guess maybe I didn't pay enough attention in school, but, like, I the only thing I could have probably told you was that he was the first Secretary of the Treasury, and that was it. I knew so little about him. In comparison, I too was a Thomas Jefferson fan until the reveal that he was a monster. I'm still, like, embarrassed by the fact that I remember going to the Jefferson Memorial when I first moved here to D.C. and being like, yeah, that's my dude. And then, like, very...
Well, I will say, the Jefferson Memorial is, for me at least, I actually did cry when I went there by myself. Because it's a really beautiful memorial, and the words that are inscribed inside of it are so great.
It's still beautiful. It holds up, but yeah. And then everything that's come out, like, recently and all that stuff, I'm just like, oh boy, I have to pick a new founding father. Maybe it's Hamilton. I don't know. Maybe it's Burr. Maybe I'll be a wild card.
Yeah, he's a very edgy choice for a founding father. He was a one term vice president.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll go, maybe I'll go, like, super obscure, like, Hercules Mulligan or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, because I don't think that there are a lot of people from that era who were significant, who are fully unproblematic. Just because of, you know, by virtue of the times, you know, it was a highly racist time where even people in the North had slaves, things like that. I mean, it was...
John Laurens is probably the only one who comes close to being okay because he, like, actively wanted to abolish slavery and, like, actively worked towards it. And was...
Hamilton did, too. Let's be
fair. Yeah, and Hamilton was... Yeah, Hamilton was good about that. And Eliza worked really hard, even after he died, to abolish slavery. Sorry. Yeah, but they're all kind of... difficult.
But I mean, it's my main point being that, you know, it's hard to say, like, oh, well, you can excuse slavery. Obviously, slavery is very bad. You should not ever excuse it. But in the context of the time, right, I think you just sort of have to assume it as, you have to be able to turn a blind eye to it, I think. Just because that's the societal context.
Yeah.
That it was at the time.
But I give props to the musical, to the musical Hamilton, for acknowledging a lot of the stuff, the uncomfortable stuff that was happening at the time, and for bringing up, like, you know, in the song What Did I Miss, like, Jefferson references Sally Hemings. By the way, this, it's funny, I had already stopped being a Jefferson fan by the time I listened to this, but... I feel like if you walk out of Hamilton still being a Jefferson fan, like, that's, I don't know how that's possible, because this is not favorable to him at all. He comes across as such a jerk in this musical.
Yeah.
So, just like, I mean, the guy who plays him is apparently wonderful, and makes him sound very charming, but, like, some of this stuff of just, like, you know, when they come and, like, confront him, and the fact that, like, they keep wanting to destroy him, he's just, like, yeah, not good at all.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting place to be in, and to the whole generation of high school kids that will probably form their opinions of various founding fathers based entirely on this musical. I don't know how quite fair it is. I mean, I think it's a pretty good representation of at least some viewpoints, but, you know, obviously it's a musical. It doesn't give a full historical account of everything.
And it very much has, like, a pro... I mean, just by virtue of being called Hamilton, has, like, this insanely pro-Federalist lean.
Yeah, that's true.
There, like, it's very much, like, Hamilton was right. Like, even at the end, they're like, see, Hamilton was right.
Nobody could undo all the systems, therefore he was right.
Yep. Jefferson says, I tried, I couldn't, it didn't work, so I guess it's here to stay, so I guess that's good.
Uh-huh. So, another thing I want to touch on quick before we do our rating, which I'm sure is not going to be enormously surprising to anyone. is the and maybe this is not just on Twitter, but the anti-Hamilton backlash that I've been seeing recently, even among people that I otherwise, whose opinions I respect. And I wonder, what do you think about it?
Yeah, you're talking about I think there was recently an article, right? Because they were talking about the casting notice for the Chicago.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, is it just one of those things of, like, once something becomes really popular that people feel the need to, like, be anti that just to be like edgy? Is it one of those things of, like, it was underground before, and then now that it's, like, everybody knows about it, it's like, oh, here's how I establish myself as a critic. Like, I'm gonna rag on Hamilton.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and I think it can be knee jerk in a lot of people who consider themselves to be, you know, culturally literate. And I'm sure I fall into this trap sometimes, too. And I think it's something that we have to try hard to avoid.
Yeah.
I mean, and This Is My Son is explicitly an anti-irony zone.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is a place where we support all authentic appreciation of things. And I think that's it's a shortcoming for intelligent people who have historically enjoyed things that are not popular, is that their brain forms this little weird and sometimes problematic connection that's like, if it is popular, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I have to be against it.
I see this sometimes with people making, like, people who are considered, like, theater snobs or, like, musical snobs making fun of people who like Singing in the Rain or something like that.
Which is a great musical.
Which is one of the best musicals, like, of all time.
Yeah.
And just because it's, like, good and popular and, like, you know, was made a lot of money, people are like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, poo-poo that. Well, what's the, what was the other, like, the backlash that you saw?
Well, I mean, I've seen it on a more personal level, less of the more major backlash that came from that casting notice thing, but more just on the, you know, if, I think as one, like, I retweeted an article where someone was using Hamilton's thoughts on, you know, from some Federalist paper to, as a context for discussing, I don't know, something about the election. And I, you know, got some very ironically cynical retweets of it, like, effectively the message being like, oh, this is the worst, like, some, you know, dumbass is using a popular thing to try to make a legitimate political point.
Oh, how dare you like something?
Yeah, which is, that's the real message, right? It's like, how dare you unironically like a popular thing?
How dare, like, I mean, that's crazy to me, because it's like, the whole point of art is that it should be, it should be almost, like, universal. Like, it should speak to people and be applicable in many different scenarios. And the fact that, like, you can look at Hamilton and apply it to the current election or to, you know, pop culture or events or stuff like that, like, that shows how smart it is. How valuable it is.
Yeah, and, like, art that can be applied to multiple circumstances is good art, right? That's the definition.
Exactly. I mean, you don't, like, when people, like, people quote Shakespeare for stuff all the time, and that goes to show how good Shakespeare is, and Hamilton is going to be like that. About the casting notice, I don't know. I feel like I just kind of, I was just kind of like, I'm so tired of people getting outraged about stuff that they don't need to get outraged about. Mm. Like, if, like, plenty of casting notices say white people only.
Or at least are implicitly white people only. Like, I was thinking, right, like, do you expect that, like, if a black guy tries out for, like, the Phantom of the Opera, that he's going to get cast? Probably not.
Yeah.
Right?
Although, now you're making me think of a hip-hop Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, that'd be so good!
That'd be so good!
I'd certainly go to it, right? But, like, if you're trying to be, you know, like, the Cincinnati touring company of the Phantom of the Opera, you're probably going to get whatever you can do to reproduce the situation of the original show, the original production, right? And in the same vein for Hamilton, right, I think it's completely legitimate to cast people that are the same race as the originators of the various parts.
Or the very least, like, because the core conceit of the casting when they did Hamilton was to get people who aren't typically featured in art, and aren't typically, when you think of Broadway, you don't usually think of these types of people, and you don't think of people who can rap. And so, like, to then completely, like, disregard all of that, and when you're doing the show in other places, it completely loses what the entire, because, like, there's the text of Hamilton, and then there's the subtext of, like, subverting the whole founding father's image by having young, non-white people playing them, and, yeah, you can't just cast, it doesn't have the same, resonance if you cast a bunch of white guys in these roles.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't know how unnecessary this is, but I think it's for the structure of the episode. We gotta rate.
We gotta rate our son, Kathy. Be kind to our boy.
Be kind to our boy, but also the established structure. I think it's taken a while for this to come out explicitly in an episode, but as of last week, it was established that 5 units, whatever the unit may be, this is my son. That's what it means. 0 units means I hate this, whatever. And then there's the range in between it. I don't know how we could give it anything other than 5.
I think maybe I'm reluctant. I want to give it 5. I'm only reluctant to give it 5 because I feel like 5 is perfect. Impossible.
Well, it depends on what the scale is. What are you measuring by? What's your metric? Is it 5 of those stars that's on the album cover of Hamilton standing on top of a black star?
I think it's... it's 5. I think it's, I think it's, 5 out of 5 very small, angry Hamiltons who want to fight everybody.
Little angry...
On top Hamilton. Of a star.
Okay. Fighting Hamiltons.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would give it 5. You're welcome to give it anything less if you want to. If you feel that way about your boy.
My boy. God, I can't be a bad mother. I need to love my son wholeheartedly.
You gotta love your son. You gotta represent your son, remember?
Yeah. Because my only thing is I don't want to challenge your system, but I feel like we've already shaken up. It's an episode of firsts.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to move outside of the system if you feel you need to break the walls of the structure that I've created.
Yeah, audience, I'm speaking directly to you, breaking the fourth wall of this podcast. I think I would say 5 out of 5. Yeah.
Good. That's what I wanted.
5 out of 5. Lin-Manuel Miranda's Dancing on a Star.
Beautiful.
Yep.
So that's it. That's the first perfect score. We're not going to end this entire podcast.
Oh, what was your... You were also 5 out of 5.
I was always, yes, hardcore 5 out of 5.
What was your 5 out of 5 unit?
I'm 5 out of 5, overly earnest, musical declarations of the time and place.
it's very helpful, though.
It really helps you contextualize, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I adore Hamilton, and I will defend it, because it's my son.
It's my son, and Kathy, I hope... One day we can actually meet our son in person.
Well, so I'm hoping I've got signed up for the email list for the Chicago touring thing. So when the tickets go on sale, I'm going to attempt to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if I am successful or not, because I don't think they've gone on sale yet.
Oh, tell our boy hello.
I'll shout hello at your boy, although, you know, who knows what the cast is actually going to be for the Chicago version, but...
I'm sure it'll still be good. I mean, there is definitely, like, there's definitely a magic with the original cast, but, I'm excited to see how it changes and grows, and, I mean, I just think about, like, you know, 10 years from now, like, high schoolers doing this,
Yeah, I mean, this thing's going to be all over the country within a few years, so...
If I ever have a real son, I hope he's, I hope he can be in my fake son one day.
You wanna have a son who will be a Broadway performer? who can perform in Hamilton.
Well, I didn't mean necessarily in Broadway. I mean, I meant like in
any other venue. Okay, I was just a school play. You're talking about a school musical.
Yeah, I was gonna say like a shitty low rent like middle school production of Hamilton. But I mean, listen, it's my son. He's probably not gonna be very good at.
He might be just a chorus member.
I love my boy, but he's probably gonna be a tree in the back.
don't undersell your son.
Yeah. I have a lot of faith in all of my sons.
Good. Nikita, is there anything you'd like to plug today?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. please endorse me for
podcast.
For podcasting. For goofs. No, I mean, I'm on Twitter, at ShambleBot. If you really, really, for some reason, want to follow me, don't know why you would.
Wait, why are you selling yourself short here? You should be like, yeah, I'm the best account that's online.
yeah, I'm super good at Twitter. I post a lot of really funny memes.
Oh, so many memes.
So many memes. Something about white vans. I'm back at them. Yeah, so at ShambleBot, ShambleBot. Looks, I'm a little robot.
It's a robot online.
And in person.
And in person, she's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to plug this podcast. Once again, please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you are very kind, you will write a review. I would personally thank you. I will send you a kiss on the lips.
I'm gonna go write a review right now.
I'm gonna mail you a kiss on the lips in an envelope.
Oh, fantastic.
And you can follow me on Twitter at MySucks, MISOKS. Or follow the podcast for future updates at This Is My Son. And that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And Nikita, thanks for coming on and being with us.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about my son.
You are so very welcome. And to all you listeners, we will see you next week.